just a few moments, we're going to come for imposition of ashes. Our service really is in two parts. One is the imposition of ashes, which is our own personal expression of sorrow for our sins. And what will follow a little bit after that is receiving of Holy Communion to let us know that even though we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God's grace is there for us and for all. You will hear one of two expressions or statements as the ashes are placed on your forehead. The most common is, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. But there's another expression you may hear, which is repent and believe the gospel. What does that mean, that second statement? We find repent in the Bible a lot, especially in the Old Testament. But we also see John the Baptist coming, and his message is one of repentance. Jesus talked about repentance. Has the visual picture of someone walking a certain way, stopping, realizing they're going the wrong way, and turning around and going, exactly right. We repent. What do we repent of? Well, it's really very simple. We repent of our will. And that's when we stop. Because all sin, all of our shortcomings, almost everything that causes us difficulty and separates us from God is because we want our way. You'll recall that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is there before his arrest and he prays, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. In the great prayer that he taught his disciples, the great prayer included the will of God. And that's really what it's about. We really come to this place where we say, I'm really tired of walking my own way. This is not fruitful. But we're convicted that we're walking the wrong way. Even as Christians, we can walk the wrong way. We can walk in the flesh. We can walk in stubbornness. And so we repent and we focus on the Lord. And our prayer becomes, not my will, but thine be done. Repent and believe the gospel. What does that mean to believe? Well, in the West, we normally associate that with mental agreement or acceptance. We might accept and believe that 2 + 2 = 4. We might have all sorts of beliefs that don't really affect our behavior. We recognize that a thing is true, but then we go on. But believing the scriptures means more than that. To believe means to put one's entire whole trust in and act accordingly. So when we say that believe, repent and believe, we're to believe in Jesus, in his plan for us, in his will for us, but it changes not only our thoughts, not only our viewpoint, but it changes our behavior. Does that make sense? So it changes that as well. Because belief is a lot more than mental assent. To believe is to act out. To believe is to live the life that we're called to live. And the life that we're called to live is the gospel. And what does that mean? Well, almost every Sunday, we have a shortened version of the gospel at the end of the service from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins or trespasses against them. The good news is that God was in Jesus, was in Christ, bringing the world, bringing the fallen, unregenerate, rebellious world back to himself. That's pretty good news. But it's really good news when we read that he's not counting our trespasses against us. We have in mind the prodigal son that's made a mess of his life, and he's in the pig pen eating slop. And he comes to himself, and he has all these things he's going to say to his father. And mostly what it means is, Father, if you'll just let me be as one of your hired servants, just give me some food, just let me live in the servant's quarters. But before he can get it out, the father silences him. He doesn't care where he's been. He doesn't care what he's done. He knows his son has suffered. He can see it. in his countenance, in his clothes, in his demeanor. He knows that. And you know the story. He's restored not just to the household. He's restored to full sonship. And there's a celebration given. Don Francisco, years ago, wrote a song. And it was an interesting song for the time, a gutsy and edgy song for the time, called "I Don't Care Where You've Been Sleeping." And a part of the song goes, "I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I gave my life to set you free." And it goes on to say, "Just come home to me." "There's no sin you can imagine," Don wrote, "that is greater than my love." And that's true. It's not just about coming home. It is about repenting. It is about believing and living out the gospel. And that's the gospel, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not counting our trespasses against us. And that's really good news, especially when we're really, really guilty. But that's not all, because that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 includes the revelation of the Apostle Paul that we are ambassadors for Christ, and that we have a message and a mission, that not only are we the recipients of this grace, but we are the carriers of this grace. And Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and Paul goes on to say, it's as though God were begging through us, be reconciled to him. It's hard to imagine God begging for anything, isn't it? Such is his love, such is his passion, such is his compassion, that he's not counting our sins against us. He's made the way. He's done everything he can to reconcile us to him through Christ and through his people, through you and me and all of his people. It is as though he is begging people to be reconciled to him. And that's a part of the gospel. And we're a part of that story. We're a part of what he's called believers to do. So if you hear that tonight, if that's what's spoken over you, repent and believe the gospel. It's more than just a catchy Ash Wednesday phrase. It's a powerful message for any time, but especially as we prepare our hearts toward the resurrection. Well, first of all, toward the crucifixion. We'll get there on Good Friday. And then the resurrection. But that's what all this is about. It's what all of Lent is about. It's about life. The life we've been called to, but not only that, the life we've been called to share. Amen? In just a few moments, there's going to be a charge or an invitation to a holy Lent, and we're going to invite you to receive ashes. When you come for that, we're just going to ask you to line up as a family or as folks. By the way, I'll share more in a minute, but our Rector's Council met on Sunday night, and we are starting tonight returning to normal post-COVID church. So, and you'll see the beginnings of that. And so anyhow, I think Father Mark is going to share with you in your prayer book.
All stand. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penance and fasting. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts of the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins and had become separated from the body of the faithful, were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Thereby, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our moral nature, let us now come before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer.
Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given life everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.